The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, heck yeah, it is. Hello, everybody. Todd Starnes here. Buckle up, America. We have got 3 hours of great conservative conversation coming your way. 3 hours without me yelling at Geraldo. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to hear that. We are just so delighted that you have decided to hang out with us today. Some great guests coming up. Our good friend Mary Walters is going to be here in just a little while. KT McFarland is going to be here, one of the great foreign policy advisors of all time. And she has some things to say about China, as well as the Biden administration. We're going to get to that. Plus, we have trivia today. We're going to be hooking you guys up with some great prize packages. All sorts of great things happening. And by the way, Friday, Open Line Friday, here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You say, what does that mean, Todd? What does that mean, Open Line Friday? That means you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we're going to take your calls today. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you want to call in today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So look, let's start with last night. Yesterday, former Vice President Mike Pence. And I have a couple of questions for you about Mike Pence. A lot of you people out there do not like this guy. You feel like he is a traitor, that he betrayed President Trump, that he should have stood his ground. He should have prevented the Electoral College votes from being ratified up on Capitol Hill. And many of you say you're done. You've washed your hands of Mike Pence. But it's very clear to me that Mike Pence, the former vice president of these great United States, has higher aspirations, that Mike Pence is beginning to lay the groundwork for what I suspect is going to be a presidential run in 2024. So my question is, do you feel that Mike Pence is a good guy? Do you? Because I do. The man is a devout follower of our Lord. You may not agree with him on what he did on January the 6th, but there are a lot of people out there who respect this man's values. And he did stand by the president through thick and thin, except on January the 6th. But Mike Pence yesterday delivered a pretty powerful speech in New Hampshire to a group of Republicans. And what he had to say was the gospel truth. For the past 3 years, since my book came out, Culture Jihad, I was in some circles of the conservative movement. I was considered a pariah because of that book I wrote. And a lot of people said that, you know, I had gone over the edge, that I, you know, the idea that we would be judging people, white people, because of the color of their skin was offensive, and it was simply out of the realm of possibility. I had conservatives, and I'm not one of these guys that names names, so I'm not going to name names. These were private conversations, but they were with conservatives that you know, conservatives on Fox News Channel. But I'm not going to name names, but I will qualify that many of them have programs on Fox News Channel. And they said, Todd, and they were genuinely concerned about this. They said, Todd, there's no way possible that white people are going to be judged by the color of their skin. They're going to call you a racist. They're going to call you an agitator. You can't write a book about that. But these people, by and large, they don't write what they say on TV. They're talking to you on a teleprompter. I mean, it's true. I mean, some of them do have thoughts, original thoughts in their brains, but most of them do not. They're just reading off of the teleprompter. And look, hey, if that's how you want to make a living, it's a pretty good, easy way to make a living. But I actually do a lot of reading, and I do a lot of research, and we have a great team of people that surround me that give me great advice and guidance. And back in 2017 and 18, we saw the early stages of critical race theory. We saw what was happening. And when you actually read what these disciples of critical race theory want to do in America, you understand what's happening right now in this country. And so now here we are, 2019, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, it came out. And there were a handful of people over at Fox News who got it. They understood what was coming down the pike. And they also know that I'm a pretty damn good researcher. You know, we don't write out the wazoo. We actually research. And we back everything up in that book with evidence. That's why when you look at the notations in my books, they're sometimes 30, 40 pages long because everything is verified. Everything is documented. You say, well, Todd, why do you do that? Because a good many of you are ministers. A good many of you are conservative leaders. Maybe you are a chairperson of your Republican Party. And when you read my books, when you read my columns, I want to make level sure that I'm sharing accurate information with you. That's what we do here on this radio program every single day. So I'm getting to Mike Pence. Just hang tight. I've got to set this up for you so you understand the context of all of this. So honestly, since for a couple of years now, I've been wandering in the conservative talk and conservative TV wilderness because a lot of the folks over at Fox, they either don't get it or they don't want to get it. But we are now living in an age where the predictions I made in Culture Jihad have come true. That boys and girls are being judged by the color of their skin. Boys and girls, little white children, are being told by their school teachers that there's something wrong with them, that they should be ashamed of their skin color, that they are the problem with the world today. And that is a horrible thing. So last night, someone sent me a text message that said, hey, Starnes, did you see the speech that Pence gave? And I had not. And I was able to Google it, and we pulled a couple of clips from this speech. It was a fantastic speech. And Mike Pence actually weighed in on critical race theory. Here's what he said.
And maybe the most troubling developments with families in the past few months has been the Biden administration's wholehearted embrace on the radical left's all-encompassing assault on American culture and values. Under the Biden administration, patriotic education has been replaced with political indoctrination. They abolished our 1776 commission and authorized teaching critical race theory in our schools. Instead of teaching all of our children, regardless of race or creed or color, to be proud of their country, critical race theory teaches children as young as kindergarten to be ashamed of their skin color. Well, let me say, as my friend Tim Scott said, with great effect on the national stage not long ago, America is not a racist country. It's past time for America to discard the left-wing myth of systemic racism, and I commend state legislatures all across the country and governors for banning critical race theory from our schools. Our founders said that we were to strive for a more perfect union, and so we have done throughout the long and storied history of this country. And while we are not perfect yet, we ought to do justice to all the progress that has been made and recognize that the United States of America is the most just, noble, and inclusive nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. And the United States military is the greatest force for good the world has ever known.
Yeah, it was a terrific speech. I mean, really terrific speech. And I don't care what you think about Pence and Trump and that relationship. What he said needed to be said, and he delivered that message in such an eloquent way. But the reality is that kindergartners, children as young as 4 and 5 years old, are being taught to be ashamed of the color of their skin. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about a lot of stories involving school districts around this country. And there's been a lot of horrible things happening in those schools, those public school classrooms. And so I want to say something here before we go to break. And it needs to be said. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to retake the public school system. I hope we can, but I don't know. It's going to be a long, hard slog for that to happen. So here's my recommendation. If you have a child in public school, come fall, you need to homeschool that child. I do not trust the public school system in America to teach your child. I suspect that many of you are going to discover that when you send your kid to preschool, they're going to come back thinking they've got the wrong pronouns. They're going to come back hating America. They're going to come back hating themselves because they've been told that they're white, and that's a problem. So my recommendation, pull your kid out of public school, homeschool your children. Get your kid, and if you can't homeschool, get your kid into a good Christian private school. And you got to do your research because a lot of those Christian schools are going woke. You're going to have to do some due diligence here, folks. But if we're going to save America, we got to get the kids out of the public school system. That's what we've got to do here. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, the live show blog, Avery up and working very hard today on that. Links to all of the stories we're talking about over at ToddStearns.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, and their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. You know, we've been hearing from a lot of you guys who have taken the plunge. You did exactly what I did, which is get yourself one of these brand new Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifiers. We've been talking about it for, about 3 weeks or so now. And this air purifier is unlike anything else I've ever seen. It's absolutely unbelievable. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, especially here in the southern states where you have all the allergies and the pollen and the whatnot. No more sneezing, coughing, watery eyes, none of that stuff. Thanks to the Thunderstorm Air Purifier, about the size of one of those the Apple TV devices that you have in your entertainment system. So it's you don't even know it's there, and it's just absolutely incredible. By the way, an added benefit, not only does it get rid of all the pollen, but sometimes, you know, your house gets a little funky. You know what I'm talking about? You get that smell. And the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, it eliminates all of those odors. All of them. So look, our friends over at Eden Pure, they're big fans of the show, and they want to offer all of our listeners a great deal and discount. They're going to give you the lowest sale price plus $10 off of that, plus they're going to give you free shipping. It is a pretty cool opportunity. Here's what you need to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. And just put in the code word Todd. That's code word Todd. And you're going to get some great deals. EdenPureDeals.com. Code word Todd. All right. The other big story of the morning is the jobs numbers. And folks, I'm telling you, as a small business owner, I would love to hear from you guys if you're a small business owner. Are you having trouble finding people who want to work? I can answer that in the affirmative. It is hard finding people out there who want to get a job. And that's because the Biden administration is literally paying people, paying American citizens not to work. The new jobs report misses the estimate with only 559,000 jobs added. And what does that mean? It means you've got a lot of people that are choosing to stay home instead of going and getting a job. According to Fox Business, the U.S. economy had 7.6 million fewer workers from February of 2020. Folks, that is appalling. And may I say this? It is un-American. It is un-American to sit home on your butt and do nothing. America is about getting up early in the morning, going to work, working your butt off, and then going back home again. That's what we do. We're Americans. We're hard workers. But this is awful. This is terrible. And this is laziness. And yes, you can blame the Biden administration for laying the groundwork for all of this, but ultimately, this is a culture problem. And I blame moms and dads. We've got to start raising a generation that understands what it's like to put in a hard day's work. We've got a generation now that's out there, the entitlement generation, the participation trophy generation. These people don't want to work. They let the kids stay home, play the video games all day, go swimming in the pool. Hey, look, that's great. That's great. But at some point, you got to teach your kid how to work and how important it is to get a job. I don't know. I was, 10, 11, 12 years old and started doing like yard work when I was a kid. And then when I was 13, I got a job in the local newspaper office sweeping the floors. I mean, my dad would not let us sit around and goof around and go tiptoeing through the tulips in the summertime. We were working our butts off. And I suspect many of you had moms and dads the same way. But not nowadays. I mean, this is crazy. Some kids are getting an allowance just for sitting there and playing video games. What's wrong with you? This is a horrible thing for America. Lazy, lazy, lazy. Well, let's go to the phone lines. You know, I was wondering, we hadn't heard from Joe from LJ in a long time, and I thought maybe he had gone off and was, God forbid, listening to Bongino. So, Joe, good to have you back with us.
Todd, you're great. And we have got to, my good friend Steve Moore, he was on Fox Business News, he called me and said, Joe, we've got to quit paying people for not working. And just like you say, Todd. And Todd, we got to get off this victim mentality. Look what you did. You started a great radio show, and now you made it happen because you worked hard. You worked smart. Grace is a great screener. She works hard. We got to get back to the work ethic and quit paying people not to work because it's like you said, it makes everybody lazy. So I'm down here in LJ, and I'm talking to a lot of small business people. Like you say, they can't get people to work. You go to the restaurant, and they're slow because they can't get the help. We've got to quit paying people not to work. And Todd, I'm really excited about that. I know you are too.
Joe, you're telling me that in North Georgia, I mean, you guys in Georgia, y'all are hardworking people. You're telling me they can't find folks to work there in North Georgia.
Well, that's right. That's true. And wow. A lot of the restaurants are underhanded, and that's sad. I mean, we do have a lot of hard workers in North Georgia. Of course, you know, the 25 red states pretty much have stopped this, paying people not to work, but the blue states still do it. We need to quit paying anybody not to work. That's un-American. It's like you say. And I think we'll do it, Todd. I'm an optimist, and And thank God for your radio show. And I just feel good about the future. But we got to get people to go back to work.
No, we've got to, Joe. And look, I appreciate you calling in. This is a big deal. And if it's happening in Georgia, that's really troubling. But you know what? It's happening in West Tennessee as well. And I'm curious to know what it's like in your area. 844-747-8868. By the way, how old were you when you had to get your first job? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Jackie is listening to us from Jacksonville, North Carolina on the Talk Station. Hi, Jackie. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
To the show, I get so many different opinions, and it's very interesting and educational, so thank you.
My pleasure.
Today with the lazy people sitting on their butts and not wanting to work hard, my son, when the company he used to work for, and he had a decent salary, it wasn't anything great, but when they closed up, he had to work at $7.25 an hour. And for a man in his 40s, and that's all he could find, and this was in a place that made metal screws and different things for airplanes or whatever, $7.25 per hour. And he struggled, and he tried to do overtime, which they did not want to pay. It was horrible, but he had to deal with it for over a year before he finally did get a decent job. But I'm thinking, how many other people, if he was breaking $7.25 now and lost his job, yeah, I would encourage him, stay home until something comes through, because you're making much better money. And so I think some people are just at that place where, why should I wait $7.25 an hour? And I can get this unemployment as long as it lasts, don't have to pay all that money for daycare if you have children at home. And that's if they're not back in the actual classroom yet, or if the daycare, because some daycares open because of COVID, they close. They open because of COVID, they close. I know one in particular here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. So it's very challenging. So I think the $300 is a lot. And at some point, it's got to come to an end. But these companies, if they want their employees, they better start offering some pay.
Well, look, Jackie, there's no doubt about that. And there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, let me just say this. I don't know, and I don't want you to tell us the name of the company, but whatever, they've made the decision, they're going to pay their workers $7.25 an hour. Maybe that's what they can afford to pay, or maybe they can afford to pay more, but they choose not to. They maybe give their executives bigger salaries. I don't know. That's on them. Here at my company, when we launched this company in the middle of a pandemic, the starting pay and the average starting pay, I think, in Memphis in radio is, you know, $7, whatever the minimum wage is, the $7.25 an hour. We decided, you know what, we can afford to pay $15 an hour. That was a decision that I made as the owner of the company, not at the government coming in and telling me this is what you have to pay. And look, I think a lot of this is on the owners of the company. You want to be able to take care of your employees to the best of your ability. But the reality is, if you're only making $7.25 an hour, you're going to have to get another job. I mean, that's it could be a part-time job. You know, my dad had to do that, Jackie. He was an electrician, a blue-collar worker. When the oil industry went bust in the early 80s, my dad really struggled. But he did what he had to do to put food on the table and to pay the bills. And it's a struggle. It was a struggle for him, and I saw that. But again, I'm just saying right now in this environment, Jackie, I'm looking around our part of Tennessee, and you've got jobs at fast food restaurants where they're paying upwards of $10, $11, $12 an hour, and they still can't find people to work.
Well, I know one place I went to in Wilmington, I was so happy. A small restaurant. Now they're paying $15 per hour, no tips required. And I was so proud of them for doing that. But that's not the majority, not that I've seen down here. And he did work a little part-time, but he was also going to school. Thank God he got a couple of degrees in engineering, and so he's got a decent job finally. But I'm thinking if it was back then or some other people that are going through this, I don't think it's everybody's just sitting on their lazy butt. I think they're holding out to hopefully the minimum wage will be increased all around.
Well, and if that happens, Jackie, you're going to find a lot of people back home on their butts without jobs. Because I'm just telling you, there are some companies that, honest to goodness, they can't afford to pay, you know, $15 an hour. We can at my company, but you know what? It's a stretch at times. But we do what we have to do to take care of our employees. But again, this goes back to whoever's running your company and their ethos and what they want to do. But Jackie, thank you for the call and good luck to your son out there. I mean, that's tough. But the reality is, you know, we talk about daycare. Can we just talk? Wow, I'm about Grace. You and I were having this conversation during the commercial break. I mean, you were a teenage girl.
Yes.
And you were expected to get out there and find a job.
Oh, yeah. By the time I was 16, I was in the warehouse.
What were you doing in the warehouse?
I was picking orders. My dad worked in the office that was like, you know, part of, attached to the warehouse. He worked in the office. So he could keep an eye on me. He could come visit me out in the warehouse.
So in case like a box fell on top of you, or, you know.
It's a little bit of a tough crowd out in those warehouses sometimes.
But I bet they treat you pretty nice.
Oh, they did. They treated me very well.
You were their Gracie.
Yes, they called me that. They thought I was the youngest there by far for a long time. I worked there for off and on for 5 years.
Is that right?
And then I went to the office and worked in the office.
So, I mean, looking back, I know as a teenager, you probably didn't want to work. But looking back now on that, was it worthwhile?
Yes. I saved so much of that money, too. So my first year of college, I didn't have to work at all. I was able to just focus on school, and I used my saved money to live off of.
But I guess it was a sacrifice, though,
yeah,
as a teenager.
Oh, of course it was. I mean, my friends were going out and doing stuff, and I was working in the warehouse from, you know, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m.
You know, we have little
days a week.
Little Starnes comes out, you know, plays football, does the, you know, is on the 7 a.m. football, and then mows the grass here at the bunker.
Yep.
The radio bunker, and does a terrific job of it.
Yeah, you know, but every other week, great.
It does look good. And Avery, if I recall correctly, Avery, you started working pretty young while you were still in high school.
Yes, sir. I started working here at the radio station at WDUN when I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did what you kind of used what you do, Grace. I was here for the morning shows, so I had to get here at like 6 a.m. Thankfully, it was only 2 days a week, but still, I mean, yeah, that was a little bit of a sacrifice, but it was well worth it because it just so happened I started to sort of like work even more through the morning show, and we had this one really weird, super annoying call-in guest, or it wasn't a guest, he was a guest affiliate. He would talk about news. His name was Todd Starnes, and I ended up getting a job with him. So.
You're about to be unemployed again.
I was just going to say, you might need to go look for another job.
What was that all about?
Oh, I'm just kidding.
But
I got this job, and I'm loving it.
But again, I mean, you say you started at 6, but that meant you had to get up at the crack of dawn during a school week.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Because, I mean, this was just, I thought it was just an absolutely amazing opportunity. Like, can you name other 16-year-olds that have the opportunity to go in and work at a radio station at such a young age? And I thought that this would just be such a fun little exercise, I guess you could say.
But again,
little exercise.
It's, you know, when you look at, I mean, you guys are part of Generation Z.
Yeah.
That millennial generation. I mean, there's some lazy folks in that generation.
Well, I'm like in the middle. I think I'm like technically the oldest of the Gen Z generation because I'm not quite a millennial. I'm kind of on the edge.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of the Gen Z people are the lazy ones, to be honest.
It's a pretty healthy mix.
It's a nice mix there, not in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, the problem here is we've got over 7 million of our fellow countrymen that are sitting on their butts right now,
Yeah. And
they're taking money. This is theft. This is theft. When you are an able-bodied American and you can get out there and you can get a job, and I'm telling you, I was at the drive-thru at, I was over at the Sonic. I wanted one of their delicious hamburgers.
Oh, yeah.
I was over at the Sonic, and they had a big sign-up, and they're hiring, and they're paying a really good wage over there. You can't tell me there aren't any jobs available. And they're willing to pay big money.
Yeah, Target, man. I saw the starting pay is like at least 12 an hour, 13 an hour.
So this is theft. You are stealing from your fellow countrymen when you stay at home, and it's not right. By the way, they mentioned daycare. Let me say something about daycare for just a moment. And this is politically incorrect, but it needs to be said. There was a time in America when one parent went to work, one parent stayed home and kept the kids. There was a time in America when both parents had to work to pay the bills. Guess what happened? Grandma and grandpa stepped in and took care of the kids. You didn't have millions of Americans dropping their kids off at daycare. That's because we had something in America called a family. And families took care of each other. Families looked after each other. And families were able to thrive even in very difficult circumstances. Now, again, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of families out there, and I get it. You may not have family around, and you got to send your kids to the daycare. I get that. But by and large, as a matter of convenience, guess what's happening? You're sending the kids off to daycare. You're sending grandma and grandpa off to the senior citizens home. And you want to try to have the best life you can out on the golf course or taking your kids out to the soccer practice, whatever. I'm just saying, you might want to consider simplifying your life and understanding what is actually important. And having the McMansion and having the 5 cars in the garage and the yacht, those things are not important at the end of the day. They're nice to have. Don't get me wrong. Nice to have. But at the end of the day, it's not the most important thing. All right. As promised, we are going to be doing a lot of trivia. It's Friday, and we have a lot of stuff to give away. We want to throw out the first question. And if you know the answer, give us a call here. We want to know who the first woman was. Not the first woman. We want to know the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who was the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us on this Friday edition. Hey, by the way, we need your help. I really want to get this book on the New York Times bestseller list just to trigger a bunch of liberals. My new book coming out in just a couple of weeks called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. This is a fun, fun book, and you're going to be inspired, you're going to laugh, and you're going to have a lot of fun with it. Pre-order it right now wherever you buy your books, and help us launch this book, and let's try to trigger some liberals too. All right, let's go to the phones. We have a trivia question, and we're gonna go to two callers at the same time. Mitchell in Memphis, Tennessee, and Jack in Germantown, Tennessee, both listening to the great KWAM. Guys, how's it going today?
Doing great, how you doing?
Good. Mitchell and Jack, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three, and you're going to give us the answer here. We want to know who was the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Gentlemen, on the count of three, one, two, three.
Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, this is one of my favorite songs, guys.
It's a great song.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get it from the Democrat.
Well said, guys. Jack, Mitchell, congratulations. We're going to hook both of you guys up with the prize package, and we appreciate you guys. Listen, hope you're enjoying the new show.
Absolutely.
We are.
Fantastic. Well, Mitchell,
glad to hear you on, Ty.
Well, it's an honor. Thank you, guys. And I'm proud that the guys from Memphis were the first ones calling up. You guys know your music. Mitchell and Jack, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. What a great woman and a great sister in the Lord now, singing in the heavenly choir. So a great lady. All right, let's go to the phones. Ronnie in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Ronnie, what's on your mind today?
I wanted to tell you a story about a job I done. My wife worked two mornings a week, a Thursday and a Friday morning, went in at 5 o'clock and made biscuits. And her boss was so good to us, and at Christmas gave her a bonus and took us all out to Red Lobster and let us order anything we wanted to. And when it comes to eating, you know, I really appreciate, you know, that. But
Those cheddar biscuits. Woo!
Oh, yes. She decided she was going to quit, and I felt so bad about it because he'd been so good to her, and she did and quit, and I went to talk to him, and I asked him, I said, do you mind if I try this job? He said, why would you want to? I had a technical background, and I said, you know, this is something I've never tried, and I said, I just want to see if I can do it, and I said, you're only going to be doing it another 2 or 3 months, and then you're opening up your restaurant. And I said, I'll do it. Come in and work those two mornings to help you out. And he said, you sure? And I said, I certainly am. So I come in, made about 200 biscuits, and cleaned up and everything, and you'd be done by 7:30. And then I went on to my regular job. And he was helping me in the kitchen, showing me how to do everything. And by the second week, or 4 days that I'd worked, every time he went to move, I was one move ahead of him. And he stepped back and looked at me, and he could see that he was just in my way, and he just turned around and walked away and just left it to me. But I was able to do the job, and I just felt satisfaction. I could do something I'd never tried before.
Is that right? So you make some pretty good biscuits, Ronnie. That's what you're telling us.
Well, they were Pillsbury frozen biscuits, but they were amazingly good, and we sold 200, 250 every morning.
My goodness, that's a lot of biscuits, Ronnie. A lot of biscuits. Are you still doing the? Are you still making the biscuits?
No, I just done it until he opened his regular restaurant up there, everything, and then he closed that part down.
All right. Well, good for you, Ronnie. What a great story, and thank you for calling in and sharing that with us, Ronnie from Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Well, coming up, Congressman Chip Roy from Texas is going to drop by. Also, Mary Walter, one of the great radio commentators in the country, is going to be here. Also, KT McFarland has some things to say about Dr. Fauci, as well as Joe Biden and the China virus cover-up. And also, we have a brand-new author. This is a guy who lived in New York City and wrote about the aftermath of the China pandemic and how the Democrats destroyed this once great American city. The guy's name is Seth Baron, and the name of the book, The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. And we're going to tell you all about that. Also, folks, I'm telling you, Disney World, I just don't know. I mean, what is going on over at Disney World? The latest now, they're coming out with a brand new cartoon, and we're going to get into this a little bit later. Brand new cartoon featuring two gay dads and a gender nonconforming teenager. They're just redefining family over there at the Magic Kingdom. We're going to talk about that as well. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. The website, ToddStarnes.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, so the jackbooted thugs who run Facebook have just made a pronouncement, breaking news regarding President Trump. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. An honor to have you with us today. ToddStarnes.com is our website, and we have the breaking news just posted there. Facebook now says that President Trump is going to be banned from their page for at least 2 years. So 2 years, that's what they're saying. We will keep you updated on this development. Facebook releasing a statement just a little while ago, and I think what is it? Day before yesterday, they had popped his page back up, and everyone thought, "Oh, well, the president's back on Facebook." No, no, no. It was nope. That was some sort of a faux pas, if you will. The Facebook folks are saying, given the gravity of the circumstances that led to Mr. Trump's suspension, we believe his actions constituted a severe violation of our own rules, which merit the highest penalty available under the enforcement protocols. That's according to Herr Nick Clegg, one of the jackbooted thugs over at Facebook. And again, you can read the full statement on our website. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the great state of Texas, Congressman Chip Roy. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, great to be on as always, and even better to be calling from the great state of Texas instead of Washington, D.C. How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good here. Get your reaction real quick to this breaking news. Facebook says Trump is going to be suspended for 2 years at least.
Well, this is clearly another, you know, arbitrary decision by the world of high tech and our, you know, overlords out there making decisions about who gets to speak. Meanwhile, Khamenei and every crackpot lunatic in the Middle East can go, you know, make anti-Semitic statements and talk about Israel all day long, and ain't no problem being on Twitter or Facebook. But now they're going to do a random two-year, oh, we listened to our board, even though that board, by the way, said that they have no clear policy, they have no clear, terms by which they make these decisions. It's clearly political, and that's, you know, but look, I haven't read the details. I've only seen the stuff that's come out. I need to go dive into it, but it's clearly political. Meanwhile, these companies are making hand over fist. Amazon made $100 billion extra dollars last year while 100,000 small businesses get shut down. You tell me what's happening right now, other than big corporations are making out like bandits, especially high tech, while hardworking, small business, entrepreneurial, backbone of America, Americans are getting stepped on by the elite in D.C.
No, it's a great point you make. And again, I do hope that one day Congress will decide to step in here and take a very serious look at what's happening with big tech and the censorship and the attempts to silence conservatives and people of faith. Congressman, another big story for you guys in Texas, I suppose. We got word that Alan West, chairman of the GOP in Texas, is going to step down after about a year. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I haven't been able to talk to the colonel. I believe that, obviously there's been a lot of rumbling about whether he would run for governor. And he certainly expressed interest in, other service. I think even in the statement that he's put out, that he's praying about where he can best serve going forward. And, obviously he's been a longtime public servant, and I wish him well in that prayerful decision. Don Huffines has gotten in the race. Governor Abbott, I've worked with him for a long time. It's good to have a healthy competition. That's fine. It's one of the reasons why I threw my name in the ring to run for the number three spot for House Republicans, because it was basically just going to be that Elise Stefanik was going to get anointed. And we ought to have a debate, have a race. It's fine. Just let things play out how they're going to play out. The governor's a friend. Don Huffines is a friend. Colonel West is a friend. I think the only real debate on issues is happening on the Republican side of the aisle. Democrats only, rule of operation is to expand government, spend money, and take away our freedom, and they do it rampantly.
Congressman, there's a report out of the New York Post yesterday. Apparently Republican leaders led by Jim Banks are going to be meeting with President Trump in New Jersey next week to talk about the conservative agenda. I'm curious how you feel about this. Do you think the president, because there is some debate over whether or not he should have a role in the party and how great of a role that should be?
Well, of course, he's the former president of the United States and the president, a Republican president. Of course, he has a role going forward, and we should all be working hard together to figure out, the right message, the right agenda to put forward and put in front of the American people. Jim Banks is a friend, we're all working really hard right now. I'm working with Jim and heading up the Republican Study Committee's task force on health care, helping lead the fight on border security, helping lead in Texas, pushing, working with my friends in the legislature on what we need to do on election integrity reform. Obviously, they need to pull them back into session and get that done. There are things that are pretty clear, but look, we don't lack ideas. I spoke at the Heritage Foundation's Resource Bank a couple of days ago, and I said that we don't need more white papers. What we need is more willpower. And that's really the deal. We need to stand up as conservative Americans and stand up for what we believe in, securing the border of the United States, balancing the budget of the United States, restoring our ability to get the doctor of our choice without having bureaucrats in the way, having a strong, limited, used military that when we use them, they have overwhelming force, but they have a clear mission and the care that they need when they get home. And then we need to get Washington the hell out of our way, and allow education and health care and energy policies and all to, come up from the bottom up like 1,000 flowers growing across the country. That's what we do best. That's what we need to do. And we need to stand clear on our mission and vision for the country.
And, of course, you are also one of the guys who helped launch the viral hashtag Fire Fauci. I mean, Congressman, these emails that are coming out, what do you make of these? I mean, are we talking about criminal behavior here?
Well, as a former federal prosecutor, I like to dive into this stuff in that mindset before I'd make an allegation about criminal activity. But here's what I would say. We've known that this arrogant son of a you-know-what has been destroying this country for the better part of 14 months. And the media and the social media giants that are now, putting a 2-year ban on the president, they're now having to back away from all of their, limitations and restrictions when any of us said, hey, hold on a second. This virus very likely came out of a lab in Wuhan. How did it come out of there? These wet markets and all of that. Guys, this has been a absolute best example you could have of what happens when you fund federal bureaucrats to go in and make decisions on our behalf and to step in with the power that they have. Think about the power of Anthony Fauci and what he's done. 100,000 businesses closed, destroyed lives, children that wearing masks, mental health stuff up, you know, people who couldn't get cancer screenings. We have literally just, you know, wrecked the greatest economy in the history of the world because Anthony Fauci wanted to be on the cover of magazines and be, you know, all in the cocktail circuit in D.C. We'll go follow the truth wherever it may lead. And if that's, you know, criminal, you know, investigations, so be it. But all I want is America to know that this fraud has been perpetrated in our country. We should recognize it, and we should never allow that to happen again.
I mean, it's just stunning. And this Vanity Fair piece that they did a deep dive into the I mean, that's just, it's unbelievable that all of us were put in grave danger because of all of this.
Well, when you, and I'd encourage all your listeners out there to get out there and get on social media and start diving into and looking and pull up these emails and see what was going on about, you know, what did he know and when did he know it? In terms of things like questions about masks, in terms about things about where the origins of the virus occurred, you know, and there are very real questions now about what they knew when, you know, obviously the CDC, there was a lot of pressure being put on them, the State Department. What did the State Department know? And who knew it, right? I mean, Pompeo was raising flags up, but a lot of the bureaucrats in these agencies, they would stonewall the politicals. And I know that firsthand. Governor Rick Perry, one of my very close friends, when he was at the top of energy, there were hundreds of bureaucrats down in the Department of Energy that would literally hide memos and hide stuff from getting up the chain when he was first getting in there and they're trying to figure out what to do because these bureaucrats are leftists and they don't want the will of the people to be what governs our society. This is why we don't want a big government. And I'll just say one last point. When I go to the floor of the House of Representatives, and like my friend Thomas Massie, I vote no on funding these programs that all sound good on paper. This is why. We fund tyranny. We fund the federal government to our own detriment, undermining our freedom, and we should stop it. It's not just about $30 trillion of debt. It's about giving money and printing money to bureaucrats to take away your freedom, Todd, my freedom, and every listener to this radio program's freedom.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Congressman, good stuff as always. We appreciate you coming on the show. Have a good weekend.
God bless you. You too, my friend.
All right. Wow. There you have it, folks, and a lot to unpack, and we're going to get to more of the Fauci stuff and this Vanity Fair, this explosive Vanity Fair piece that suggests the State Department did not want to ruffle feathers with the Chinese, and therefore trying to keep all of this quiet. So I really do hope that they get to the bottom of all of this, because I suspect when they do, I suspect we're going to find out, as we talked about yesterday on this program, that this was really all about China and the Democrats trying to hurt Donald Trump and trying to stop him from being reelected. So the Vanity Fair story in a nutshell, we're going to post a link to this, is that the State Department staffers were warned against probing the origins of the China virus. In other words, they didn't want anybody looking into where this virus came from. It is an explosive story reported exclusively by Vanity Fair. You got to read this. All right, we've got to take a break here. We have been throwing out trivia questions today because this is what we do on Fridays. And here is the next question. We need to know the name of the Brady family's housekeeper. Remember the Brady Bunch? The Brady Bunch. We need to know the name of the Brady family's housekeeper. What was her name? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
By the way, happy National Donut Day, America. I can tell you the staff, we sent Kyle, the audio engineer, over to Gibson's Donuts. And, you know, one of these days, I just need to make a list of all of the go-to places. So if you're coming through Memphis, you got to stop off. But you definitely have to stop off at Gibson's Donuts. One of the best, you know what, it's not one of, it's the best donut place in America. And Don DeWeese is the owner. They've been featured everywhere, including, I believe, Triple D, the diner drive-ins. And if he hasn't, we need to get Guy Fieri over here. But anyway, wherever you are, you're allowed to eat a donut today. That's all I'm going to say. Grace, what kind of a donut? I know you love the donuts over there.
Oh, I do. I like the blueberry cake donut a lot and the strawberry frosting.
Delish. You know what? I'm a very simple guy. I just love the good old-fashioned glazed donut.
Well, those are good, too. Now, I will say it's not necessarily my favorite, but a lot of people's favorite is the maple bacon donut. And our new guy, Ben, I made him try it, and he was like, I didn't want to like it, but I did.
Well, it's got bacon on it.
It's got bacon. How can it not be good?
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I thought it was great.
All right. Well, good stuff. So anyway, all right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Raphael is listening to us on AM 1160. They call that Big D's Talk Station out of Dallas, Texas. Raphael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing well. And first of all, welcome to the Todd Stern Show radio family. You guys are one of our brand new affiliates, and we're excited to be broadcasting in Dallas.
I'm excited that you're here, too. I enjoy the show very much.
Well, you're kind to say that. And, Raphael, by the way, June the 20th, I'm going to be speaking at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And after the service, we're going to be doing a big book signing. And we would love for you and your family to come out and join us for the church service.
Yeah, I attend Prestonwood Baptist, which is a competing church to the north of First Baptist.
Dr. Jack Graham is your pastor.
Dr. Graham, yes indeed. And we can skedaddle down there, no problem.
You know what? I'll send Dr. Graham a text message and say, hey, can you excuse Raphael and the family just for one Sunday?
I'm sure he won't miss me. But that's okay. Yes, definitely. That's Jeffers' church, right?
Pastor Jeffers, who is also, and you would not know this because we just started broadcasting in Dallas, Texas, but Raphael, Dr. Jeffers is the official chaplain of the Todd Stearns radio show. So when I say something wrong, he comes on and lectures me.
well, good for Dr. Jeffers. Keep him on his toes.
I love
you on your toes, too.
Yeah, well, you got to. All right, Raphael. So here's the deal. Even if you get this wrong, you're calling in for trivia. If you get this wrong, we're still going to give you a prize package because you are the first caller from AM 1160, and we want to welcome all of our new listeners.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a win-win for you.
Right.
Even if you lose, it's a win-win. All right, so.
I hope I don't lose. Yeah.
No pressure here, Raphael. But what was the name of the Brady family's housekeeper on the Brady Bunch?
I believe it was Florence.
Oh, no, Raphael. No. But Raphael, again, that's okay because you're still going to get a prize package. So I want you to give us a call back one of these days and talk about some of the big issues. But in the meantime, we're going to put you on hold. So, Grace, you're going to get Raphael's information. Let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Elsie is listening to us on WHKP. Hi, Elsie. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. All right, Elsie, we're going to try to see if you can win a prize package here. We need to know the name of the Brady family's housekeeper from the Brady Bunch show. Who was it?
Alice.
That's right.
Yes, Elsie, you are correct. Alice, who, by the way, was a devout Christian, and she spent a lot of her later years speaking in churches and giving inspirational messages. Of course, Ann B. Davis was the great actress who played Alice, the housekeeper, on the Brady Bunch. How are you liking the new show, Elsie?
I love it. I cried for weeks over Rush, but I understand you're a Christian, and that means a lot to me, and I listen every day.
Well, Elsie, you are so kind to say that.
I appreciate your comments and your Christianity.
Well, Elsie, you are so kind to say that. You sound like a lovely lady, and we want you to give us a call back one of these days. Don't hang up. Grace is going to pick up the phone, and she is going to send you a prize package. Now, folks, we're going to be doing trivia throughout the entire show today. So if you don't get in on this action, hang tight because we have many other questions coming your way. But right now we've got to take a break. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. The website, toddstarns.com. Get yourself signed up for the podcast newsletter coming out later today. Got to sign up for that too. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy National Donut Day to you, America. AOC's in the headlines. So, we'll get to her grandma in just a second. But she also says that America needs to stop building jails. Take a listen.
If we want to reduce violent crime, if we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them. The answer is to make sure that we actually build more hospitals. We pay organizers. We get people mental health care and overall health care, employment, etc. It's to support communities, not throw them away.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
May God have mercy on your soul. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend, she is the goddess of talk radio, Mary Walter. Mary!
That's hilarious.
May God have mercy on all of us.
Oh, and and may God smite the voters of New York. That's all. I mean, for putting that. Although I have to say, AOC's entertainment value is probably a far bigger bang for our buck than anyone ever expected.
Right? Oh, look! I remember the early days when she was talking about how terrified she was of the garbage disposal in her apartment. She had apparently never heard of such a kitchen appliance, and she was terrified. It was just unbelievable. This one.
Yeah, and she grew up in Westchester County, so please stop. Just stop. But here's the thing. It is Friday. It's donut day. And as soon as we get off this call, I'm going to start the bourbon. So I'm going to defend AOC here just a little bit, all right?
Go for it.
Okay. So listen, if you cut through the gibberish and you try to get through the ramblings, you kind of find a little bit of where I think she was going. She's just not that well-versed to be able to make her point precisely. So what she was saying, though, I think is in some good ways, is that we do need more mental health hospitals. We need more care for people who are mentally ill. We're seeing, look at the guy in New York who punched that woman in the face, and he had been arrested something like 12 times before, and he has mental health problems. What happened in the 60s and 70s? The liberals shut down all the mental health homes and just released these people onto the streets, thinking that they're just going to voluntarily show up for their medication. Okay, how did that work out? We've learned now, after doing that for 50 years, that it's probably not such a great idea. Okay, so it's a failed experiment. Let's learn from it. We do have a mental health crisis in this country, and we need to treat that. But I also think there's a deeper problem here, and she talked about more social workers, and that we need that. We need to have the guts to go into some of our cities and go into some areas, or as a country as a whole, preach to people that you finish school. That's the first thing you do. You want to have a good life. You don't want to have problems. You don't want to wind up on the streets, less of a chance of being arrested. Finish school. The next thing you do is you get married, because if you have two incomes, you're less likely to be homeless. That's number two. Number three, don't have children until you have completed steps one and two. We would solve a boatload of problems in this country if we did those three things. But we are not allowed, for whatever reason, to preach those things out of fear of making people feel badly.
No, and you're absolutely right here, Mary. I mean, there is a process here, and by and large, it works pretty well. It's pretty effective. The other challenge here is so many people are now just living so far beyond their means in this country, buying things they don't need, living in homes that are way too large they cannot afford. And at the end of the day, the taxpayers, all the rest of us, have to foot the bill for all of this nonsense.
And, well, that's the other thing. You know, we could slowly, we can maybe eventually get to 12 steps. We'll start with three. But if you grow up in a home with two parents, and I'm even okay, I totally am cool with two women or two men, because I think a child being in a family with two grown adults is far better off than a child winding up, you know, with no parents, or, you know, with one parent who's working so hard that they can't really parent. I just feel that you need a strong role model of the opposite gender in that child's life. So we can then work on responsibility. But if you grow up in a home where there are two parents and you're much more likely to have your behavior corrected, you're much more likely to understand consequences. And if it fails at the parental level when you're growing up, we need to institute consequences as a society. Society has to say, I'm sorry, but this behavior is unacceptable. I realize you got problems. We all have baggage. Get online. You know, everybody's baggage is different, and yours just happened to bring you to this place. Deal with it.
It's a fair point. By the way, AOC catching a lot of fire because she's complaining that her grandmother is living in squalor in Puerto Rico, the lovely island, as the West Side Story song goes. So now Matt Walsh, the blogger, is coming out, and this is brilliant. He said that he's starting a GoFundMe page to help pay for the home, the ancestral home of AOC's grandmother, and he's asking everyone to donate $499, which is the monthly lease for the Tesla, which Sandy Cortez drives.
You know what? You know what's also interesting about her Tesla and where she happens to live on the waterfront in D.C.? Very, very nice area. She's in the Navy Yard, which is very up and coming and super, super trendy. And I think she pays something like $2,500 a month in rent, you know, because disposals are expensive. She also apparently has a hard time. She has outstanding student loans. Remember, she was crying about that, too?
Oh, that's right.
Right, so she's got an outstanding student loan she can't pay either, yet she can shockingly afford a Tesla. I wonder how much parking is in her building in which she pays $2,500 a month rent in. Do you remember when Sarah Jessica Parker got real, I mean, just really took a lot of heat when she did the same thing talking about she had family members who were on welfare and how, you know, we need to do more for social services. And people are like, well, why don't you give them money? Why don't you pay some of their bills or pay for them to go to school? It's the same thing. We haven't heard from Sarah Jessica Parker since. And again, this is AOC. The government is my God. The government will solve all my problems, and all I have to do is complain and be a victim, and people will feel sorry for me and give me things. That is her mentality.
You know, over the past couple of days, Mary, we've been talking a lot about these cartoons, school districts that are now really focusing in on transgenderism and teaching kids as young as kindergarten that they should be questioning their gender identity. There was a fancy school in New York City that told first graders that they should that grandma and grandpa should ask permission before hugging them. What's going on here? Should we be concerned by this indoctrination at this level, this age level?
Oh, no, it's totally fine. It's totally cool. Yeah, of course, this is child abuse. This is absolute, complete child abuse. I do know two people who are transgender, men who became women. They started the process in their 30s. Both of them are against this. They have both been very vocal when we've discussed this. They both had to go through years of counseling and therapy before they made the transition, because it was before we just, you know, loosened up the hormone drug cabinet and just start popping them out like Pez to every kid who wants one. And so they feel that this is child abuse. You have to go through a lot before you make that life altering decision. We don't let 8-year-olds decide what to wear to school. Why would we allow them to decide what kind of medication they should have?
Look, it's a fair point. And again, this is very troubling that our public schools, and I appreciate Mike Pence speaking out about this yesterday, even tying in critical race theory where, you know, they're teaching kindergartners to literally be ashamed of the color of their skin. I mean, this is my concern is not what's happening now, but what that's going to look like 10, 15 years down the road when you have a generation of white kids that have been taught to be ashamed of their skin color. And then you have other you have black and brown Americans who have been taught that their lot in life is being blamed on the white person.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, you divide that if you have a divided populace and you don't, they don't view themselves as Americans and they view themselves as separate tribes. It's a lot easier to rule them, right? Because you can play one against the other.
True.
But here, but I don't think this lasts long because of the pandemic. You are seeing the parents who are notoriously liberal, who are now, oh my goodness, I am so sorry if that's coming through. I don't know what's happening here. Who are now learning what their kids are learning in school, who are seeing what their kids are learning in school. And because of that, they're pushing back. And you are seeing parents who are paying, you know, $60,000 a year to put their kid in second grade, who are saying, wait a minute, what's my kid learning? They're going to start pulling their kids out of these schools, just like parents are pulling their kids out of public schools, and they are putting their kids in Catholic schools and private schools, right? So this pandemic has been a blessing in that way. This has been good, and I don't see this lasting long.
Mary, I want to go back to something you said earlier about National Donut Day. Bourbon? Did you say something about bourbon?
I guess doesn't everyone drink Friday on bourbon?
Oh,
Friday is Bourbon Day.
Is that? I didn't get that memorandum.
Todd, you need to stick with me a little bit more. If you hung out with me a little more, you would know.
I'm writing this down. Now, Grace Baker, our illustrious call screener. Now, Grace, you were talking about this kind of a donut. Mary, we have one of the best donut places in America here, Gibson's mm-hmm. Donuts in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And what was the maple? What was that kind of?
Maple bacon donut.
As you said maple, I was going to say, if she says bacon after that, I have had those to die for. There's a place near me that makes breakfast donuts. That's supposed to be like taste like a breakfast meal in a donut, and they will have, you know, French toast, and they have crumb cake, they have bacon, and you know the maple bake. Oh my gosh, so good because it's that salty sweet thing. Oh, to die for.
All right, so maple bacon donuts with bourbon. All right,
why not?
I'm loving Friday even more, Mary Walter.
First of all, there's no reason to not love Fry-yay because it's Fry-yay. And if you can put any excuse to eat bacon is good with me.
Love it. All right, Mary, where can folks go if they want to get more info?
I guess you'd have to follow me on Twitter, Mary Walter Radio. That's my handle on Twitter, at Mary Walter Radio.
I love it. Thank you. All right, Mary, have a great weekend. Always good hearing from
you. Thank you. You too.
All
Bye-bye.
Right, Mary Walter, ladies and gentlemen. And Mary suggests to make your Friday even better, maple bacon donuts and a shot of bourbon. So there you go. It is what it is. Hey, folks, another trivia question we're going to throw out. I love the Brady Bunch question. People really like Brady Bunch. We got the response, Grace, from that question like we would get from the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, we had to switch it up. It can't always be Andy Griffith. So I was like, okay, what's the next thing?
Could.
The Brady Bunch.
Well, it could.
I mean, it could.
What about the Waltons? We got to throw in some Waltons questions.
Oh, I know nothing about that.
You don't know anything about the Waltons?
No.
What are they teaching children in school?
Look,
what are they teaching you guys?
What? Why are TV shows relevant? Look, Hollywood's been indoctrinating for years.
It's
you really
relevant.
Want, is it?
The Waltons, yeah, that was good, wholesome program. There weren't, you didn't have lesbian alligators and transgender beavers wandering across the screen. And the Waltons sing-alongs. All right, here's the question. What was the name? Oh, we've already done that one. What was the name of the Brady family's dog? This is from the Brady Bunch. Oh, this is a good one. What was the name of the Brady family's dog? Was it Leo? Was it Tiger? Or was it Merlot? Wait, what? I know who wrote this. Come on, Grace. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. The name of the Brady family's dog. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
We'll be right back. I'm telling you, best bumper music in all of talk radio. We may have to give Kyle a raise. Oh, he's shaking his head. No, Todd, I don't need any more money. I'm honored to be able to work. Kyle, God bless you. God bless you. What a good man. Welcome back to the program. Isn't it nice? I mean, we're the only conservative talk radio program in America that does trivia, because we like to give away stuff and we'd like to hang out with our listeners. And it's been a crazy couple of weeks. And yeah, we're talking about the big stories of the day, but you know, we got to kick back and have a little bit of fun. I mean, nobody wants to spend 3 hours listening to somebody screaming at Geraldo. I'm just telling you.
You shut up for 2 seconds.
Or MSDNC or CNN, the most
crying
profane
Negro
name in
Network.
News.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. And I want to be clear, that was Judge Joe Brown who said that. What did he say again?
Crying Negro Network.
CNN. Wait, I think that works. One more time.
Crying Negro Network.
Yeah, that's what he said. It does fit CNN. Oh, there you go. All right, let's go to the phones here. Scott in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Good people on that part of the state. Hi, Scott. How's it going today?
Hey, very good, Todd. Bless your work there. I know the answer to that question.
Well, that's why you called in.
Hey, but before I give it, can I say something about AOC?
You certainly may.
I think all along we've been praising them. You know what I'm saying? Because we call them the squad. We need to call AOC the gang.
The gang. The gang. Well, the
gang. Yeah. Right. Like gangland.
All right. Well,
anyway.
All right, Scott, let's get to the trivia question here. The name of the Brady family dog.
Yes, it's Tiger.
Judges, that is, in fact, correct.
That's right.
Congratulations. Scott, we're going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere, people, because we've got time for another trivia question. Let's go to Barbara in Gainesville, Georgia. Barbara, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Barbara, we've got a trivia. We've already got one trivia question answered on Tiger. That was the name of the dog on the Brady Bunch. But we've got another question we want to ask you, and this is about President Biden. What did President Biden say to a little girl just the other day during a speech? He said he loved something about her hair. What was in her hair that he loved?
If I can remember correctly, was it the barrettes in her hair? Because I don't listen to a lot about Biden.
Barbara, well, hold on. Let's go to the tape here, guys.
I love those barrettes in her hair, man. I tell you what, look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there with her, like a little lady in a race car.
Oh, gosh. Barbara, congratulations. Yes. You are the winner.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
And, Barbara, I got to be honest with you, I'm still a little creeped out by what Biden said.
It is creepy.
It is. Barbara, how are you liking the new show, noon to 3 Eastern on WDUN?
I'm loving it because I used to have to listen to it on the podcast, and now it's live.
Well, we are so glad you are listening to us live. Barbara, we're going to put you on hold. Hang tight, and we're going to get you a prize package. By the way, you folks in Gainesville, Chattanooga, Pascagoula, Morehead City, North Carolina, we're working right now doing big book stops in your towns. We're going to tell you all about it in the next couple of weeks. We're getting all of this lined up. We're going to be really busy through the summer and the fall as we hit the road promoting the new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And I can tell you, folks, you're going to love the book. All right, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Hang tight. Hour 3 coming up. More trivia questions. Also, we're going to do a deep dive into this crazy Vanity Fair story. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Hope things are going good wherever you might be across the fruited plain. ToddStarnes.com, our website, quickly becoming one of the largest conservative news websites in America, thanks to your great patronage. If you haven't already done so, bookmark our website and be sure to check it out every day. We have a great team led by our managing editor, Caleb Park, doing a terrific job there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Joe Biden, by the way, Joe Biden is back in the news. Cut six, please.
Since January 20, and we're talking now about 15 months ago, the average daily cases are down from 184,000 to 19,000.
All right. Grace Baker, where's Grace? Grace, turn your microphone on, please. Hello, yes. Grace. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How
Very
are you?
Good. Doing well. Now, you're a college-educated woman, are you not?
Yes, but if you're about to quiz me on math.
You have a degree.
I do have a degree.
You do have a degree. All right, so you're an educated woman.
I have a journalism degree.
You have a, you're a somewhat educated woman.
Hey.
Let's do the math here, okay? Ready? We're going to like January 1,
yes.
February 2, March
3,
April 4, May 5. All right. That's 5 months, right?
Yep.
Can we play that again, please, the President of the United States?
Since January 20, and we're talking now about 15 months ago, the average daily cases are down from 184,000. To 19,000.
Oh, my.
It's unfortunate.
Even as a journalism major, how? Like, I'm saying, I noticed the mistake.
I think even Sandy Cortez would I think she could get that one. I'm just saying. Very unfortunate. So,
the woman who says we need to build less prisons.
Yeah, less prisons.
Crime.
Joe Biden says that January was 15 months ago. In his defense, it does seem like it's been a long time, right? I mean, it really does. Oh, gosh. We're only 5 months into this. Only 5 months in. 5 months, ladies and gentlemen. I blame Never Trumpers. It's all on you. All on you. Now, I was listening to the morning show as I was driving into the news bunker. Of course, the morning show on KWAM, the number one talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee now. You were talking about ice cream trucks. What was this all about?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about there was this poll on Twitter that was like, if you went to an ice cream truck, which, you know, delicacy would you choose?
Mm-hmm.
And people were weighing in. Oh, God.
What was the top choice?
Well, there was like 12 different options, and a lot of people were saying the strawberry shortcake, which is my personal favorite. And then there was also the Choco Taco ice cream sandwich. The good creamsicles are good.
You see, I was, years ago when I was back at Fox, mm-hmm. The local Fox TV station in New York City would have me do these little fun feature stories.
Yeah.
And there was a big controversy in Prospect Park, which is in Brooklyn. And the moms there were very upset because the ice cream trucks, they would pull in, you know, those big, huge ice cream trucks, they would pull in and they would start playing the music there. You know, the creepy, hey, kid,
yeah,
you want some candy music? You know,
that?
Yeah,
ew.
that.
Okay,
it's
not just me.
The moms and dads, the moms especially, were very upset because they say the children, when they heard the ice cream truck music, wanted ice cream.
Of course,
and
that's the point.
So these are all like vegans, you know, and organic foods and farm-to-table crowd.
Deprived, basically.
Oh, yeah. So they were petitioning the city council to ban ice cream trucks from the city park.
What?
Now, and so I did a story about this, and I said, look, there's an easier way to fix this. Just tell your kids, no.
Yep.
Mommy, I want some Dreamsicles? No. Eat some kale chips.
Yes. And then sometimes.
Sometimes no. But they know this is like the anti-sugar. Yeah, this is like, you know, the organic farm-to-table crowd. Okay? Yeah. So they're very unpleasant people.
They're grouchy because they haven't had any ice cream.
Thank you. And they probably don't eat meat.
Probably not.
I mean,
you know from experience you haven't been eating red meat, Todd. That's why you've been a little grumpy lately.
I fudged yesterday. Just a smidge. Just a smidge.
Okay, well, you have to say what you had.
I can't. Really?
Okay, you don't have to. You're the boss. But I think
I'm going to tell you, but it
goes to
my... You've got to
keep you accountable. We're your accountability group.
It goes to my
Hi,
stereotype.
My name is Todd. I'm addicted to red meat. I can't stop it. When I see the steak with the butter, I just melt.
It wasn't steak with butter.
Okay.
It was thick slab bologna.
Oh, come on. Of all the things. You're going to cheat. Do it well.
This is the problem. I knew what you were going to say.
If you're going to cheat, why the bologna?
Because one of my comfort foods is a thick slab bologna sandwich on white bread with blue plate mayonnaise.
Do you fry the bologna?
No.
What?
Just nice thick slab of bologna.
If you're going to do it, fry the bologna. It's so good.
So anyway, that was my one cheat.
Okay. Well, it's really not that bad, though, because the steak would have been much worse.
What are we even talking about now?
We're talking about ice cream.
Oh, thank you.
So ice cream.
Thank you. Ice cream. So that reminded me. Could you imagine, though, you got the ice cream truck music, and if it was Joe Biden that was driving.
Creepy music.
Could you imagine Joe Biden driving the ice cream truck?
I love those barrettes in your hair, man. I'll tell you what.
Sweet
mercy. That sounds so bad.
It does.
Me as a 20-year-old, I would run.
Run away. Run away.
Far away.
And I'd love kids jumping on my lap.
Oh.
No, thank you.
Oh, my God.
No.
He sticks his little head out and he goes, "Hi, would you like some ice cream on this nice, hot January 20th day?"
This is terrible. Terrible. 15 months ago. When I was an ice cream truck driver, corn pop, riding shotgun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. What a fun time.
My hair blonde in the sun.
Oh, my God. What have we done, America? What have we done?
So, I have some ice cream now.
Avery, there's a story about Disney Plus.
Yay.
So Disney Plus announcing that they're going to revive a cartoon series from the early 2000s called The Proud Family.
Yep.
I used to watch that a little bit.
I did not, but I knew a lot of people liked it.
And the new series is going to be called The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder.
Oh, boy.
And it's going to feature two gay dads raising a 14-year-old social justice warrior whose best friend is a gender non-conforming basketball player.
That's on the Babylon Bee, right, Todd?
No. This is from Variety Magazine. This is an actual true story. Disney Plus going full-blown woke.
I mean, honestly, how did they fit that much wokeness into, like,
That is a lot.
That is a lot, even for them.
And the gay dads, one is black and the other is white. So you've got like a biracial, a mixed race.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, my thing is like, could you be any more obvious? Genuinely. Like, it's just like you're just trying to shove every possible thing into this instead of like sprinkling it here and there where people maybe won't notice or care. I'm like, people are not going to like this.
The social justice warrior child is that a female?
No. Cisgender. Yes. What? Cisgender. That's straight. That's the new lingo.
Okay.
For a straight person. No.
What?
Yeah. No, you can't say straight anymore. You have to say cisgender. I'm just saying. So don't be.
They come up with new adjectives every day.
Every day. It's evolving. All that to say, don't be surprised if the next Disney classic stars a lesbian Snow White and a bunch of transgender dwarfs. Oh. I'm just going to throw that out there. So, all right, trivia time.
On that note,
what, That just flowed so well. Just one of the best transitions
and
we ever had.
This, my trivia is not about that show. So
okay, good.
Oh, my word. I'm trying to figure out who came up with some of these trivia questions. I mean,
okay, depends on which category.
All right. Oh, I know which one we're going to do here. This is Smokey and the Bandit, one of my favorite movies of all time.
I had to Google
never
it.
Seen.
And I pray to God they never do a revival of this. Because they always screw up the classics. They always do. All right, and Smokey and the Bandit, who was the bride that Bandit picked up and was supposed to marry? Was it Cletus, the mayor's son, or the sheriff's son? In Smokey and the Bandit, who was the bride that Bandit picked up? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Frontline Wars of the Culture War. It's Todd Starnes.
Oh, I love this song. Long way to go and a short time to get there.
I'm eastbound, just watch no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal.
We're trying to educate people here. All you folks in Georgia already sing along. I know you folks listen to us on WDUN. Here in Texarkana. All right, sing along, everybody. Eastbound and down. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Stick to your day job.
Now, folks, you're just not going to get this on every conservative talk radio station in America. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All I can tell you, good old Jerry Reed. Believe it or not, Grace Baker, I have that song in my playlist on the iPhone.
Oh, I believe it, Todd.
I love that song.
It is a good song. I'm yanking your chain, but it is a good song.
Whenever we're doing a road trip, as a matter of fact, we're heading down to CPAC. I'm going to be a keynote speaker at CPAC coming up in July in Texas. And we're going to be, I'm driving down.
Oh, so, then you got to play the song.
Because I'm going through Texarkana. So got to make a pit stop in Texarkana. So you better believe we're going to be playing that song.
Oh, jeez.
When you pull up to the, you know how you pull up to the traffic light? And I don't know if this happens in your community, but here in Memphis, I'll pull up to the traffic light, and there'll be this car. It's got the rims, and all you hear is like boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom.
Yep.
But when they hear, so you know what I do? I just turn on Jerry Reed and I crank it up.
There you go.
Eastbound and down.
So I have a question: are we all riding up to CPAC together in the same
boom,
car?
Chicka, boom, chicka, boom.
If we are, Avery deal with the playlist song.
Well, you, me, and Avery on the road in the Cadillac.
I think we each get a third of the way there to control the playlist.
We'll work on that. I'll think about it.
I think it's in my contract somewhere.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Lou, South Carolina. Poor Lou is like, what am I listening to? What is this? What's going on?
It's awesome.
Lou, how are you? What part of South Carolina are you in?
Beaufort, right? It's wedged right in between Charleston and Savannah, Georgia.
Now, Lou, I got a Beaufort story to tell you. We've got a radio station that carries our show in North Carolina, over at the Talk Station, and they're over on the shore, and they have a Beaufort, and I always get Beaufort and Beaufort mixed up. Two beautiful towns, though.
Yeah, well, beautiful.
Or
sound right, beautiful does.
I see what you did there. All right, let's try to win you a prize here, Lou. We're talking about Smokey and the Bandit and the bride. We need to know who was the bride that Bandit picked up. Who was she supposed to marry? I believe that was Sally Field's character. Who was she supposed to marry? Was it Cletus, the mayor's son, or the sheriff's son?
It was Buford T. Justice's son.
That's right.
Junior. Junior. I got it. You know, Jackie Gleason was as Yankee as the day is long, but he did a pretty good Southern accent.
He was awesome in that movie.
My favorite line, he talked to his son, Junior, you'll always be my little tick turd. That's a great line. Lou.
Oh, man.
Lou, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations. Big prize winner. And, you know, Avery, I know you're a big film major there at Liberty University.
Yes, sir.
I want you to hear the description. This is the plot of Smokey and the Bandit from 1977. Big Enos wants to drink Coors at a truck show. But in 1977, it was illegal to sell Coors east of the Mississippi River without a permit. So truck driver Bo Bandit Darville, played by Burt Reynolds, agrees to pick up the beer in Texas and drive it to Georgia within 28 hours. When Bo picks up hitchhiker Kerry, he attracts the attention of Sheriff Buford T. Justice. Angry that Kerry will not marry his son, Junior, Justice embarks on a high-speed chase after Bandit.
Wow. What a synopsis.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
They definitely don't, yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, they do not make movies. Avery, if you could create a movie like that, it would be a hit.
I think so. I think, but I would definitely have to do my research because I watch movies a lot. There we go. I'll just say that. I'm a big stickler for accuracy and nice callbacks to some of the like the classic stuff like that. So if I were to make a movie such as this, I'd have to do a lot of research on Smoking the Bandit, Andy Griffith, just a whole bunch of stuff.
One of the best music soundtracks in all of moviedom was the Smoking the Bandit soundtrack. And that does lead me to the next question as we go to break here. We mentioned Big Enos. Big Enos, we're talking about Big Enos Burdett from Texas. He had a son. What was the name of Big Enos's son? What are you laughing at, Grace? Give us a call, 844-747-8868, if you know the name of Big Enos's son from Smokey and the Bandit. I got to tell you about MyPillow. Mike Lindell, what a great American. You know, he's filing a lawsuit now going after this voter fraud stuff, but he needs our help, folks. And you can do that by getting yourself a brand new pair of My Slippers. It is the newest product. Mike, a longtime sponsor of our radio program, it took him over 2 years to develop these slippers. You can wear them indoors. You can wear them outdoors. They feel great no matter where you are, and that's because those slippers are made with the same MyPillow foam and that impact gel that he uses to make the pillows. Limited time only. Our listeners, you're going to get 40% off My Slippers. That's right, 40% off My Slippers. So inexpensive, you're going to be able to buy them for the entire family. So here's what I want you to do. Go to MyPillow.com right now. Click on the Radio Listeners Square and use the promo code STARNS. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS. You're going to get deep discounts, not just on the slippers, but also the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and even the towel sets. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS. We'll be right back, folks. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. An incredible new book out called The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. And I just want to read this first paragraph to you. New York City was reeling in the summer of 2020. I was there, by the way. Riots had broken out after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis in late May. Violent mobs targeted police officers. More than 450 cops were injured by anarchist and Black Lives Matter protesters. Hundreds of New York City Police Department vehicles were torched, multiple attempts to firebomb occupied police cars. Hundreds of stores were looted of millions of dollars of goods. My neighborhood was just decimated by these mobs. Unpermitted marches blocking traffic went on almost continuously. Seth Barron is an incredible journalist and writer. This is, I believe, his first book, and he is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Seth, first, welcome to the show, and second, congratulations on this powerful new book you've written.
Thanks so much, Todd. It's great to hear my my prose being read.
Well,
very nice.
I want you to take our listeners through those early days. The pandemic was getting underway, and what happened to the city that so many of us once loved?
Sure, Todd. Well, let me back it up a little bit, back to the early days of de Blasio's administration, because what appeared to be a sudden collapse of confidence in the city's prosperity and quality of life and public safety. The stage was really set years before, when de Blasio and the Progressive Ascendancy came to power in 2013. For instance, in 2014, after the death of Eric Garner, de Blasio made the bizarre statement. He said that he was worried that his own son, who's half black, would face the same fate as Eric Garner and be murdered by the police who were sworn to protect him. Now, this is a totally grotesque statement. Eric Garner was a career criminal, middle-aged. His own, de Blasio's son, was a young Ivy League-bound honors student. There was nothing, the story was completely, you know, discordant, but this is the kind of thing that de Blasio said, which stoked division, racial division, and, you know, essentially alienated the cops. He basically told the cops, we don't have your back, we don't trust you. And, you know, that and then a whole series of criminal justice reforms and, you know, fiscal mismanagement really set the stage for the, you know, I'd say the gutting of New York City.
I mean, you know, Seth, you know, you mentioned, like, for example, bail reform, which really decimated the city. You had people basically going out there. You could beat somebody up with a baseball bat, go in, and they would release you on your own recognizance or a small amount of bail money, and you're back out on the streets committing even more crimes.
Well, let me tell you something, Todd. Last May, you know, when the pandemic was getting going, the mayor's Office of Criminal Justice put out a report bragging that the jail population of New York City had dropped 27% in just 10 weeks. And they said it's never been this low before. Well, you know, that would be great if the jail population was following the crime stat, but it was really just the opposite. Crime was skyrocketing, but the city was releasing everybody and not locking anyone else up because, you know, ostensibly because of COVID. But even before that, they had established these reforms and this plan to close the city's jails, essentially capping the number of people who even could be arrested. So, yes, indeed, quality of life, public safety, these were all undermined severely even before COVID.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Seth Barron, the author of a brand new book. It is out this week, folks, and you can get a copy of it. We have a link on our live show blog. You can get it at your favorite bookstore, The Last Days of New York. Seth, you set this up so beautifully, and then all of a sudden comes the pandemic, which just makes a very, very bad situation even worse.
Absolutely. And now, I mean, de Blasio never was a pro-business guy. He was never, you know, in favor of class warfare is basically how he set up his entire administration. And, you know, he could get away with it while business was, you know, going about its business and things were going along well. But then once the pandemic hit, Midtown Manhattan emptied out. And now he's got the problem of trying to convince businesses to bring their employees back. But many of them have decided they've had it. They've relocated. A lot of companies are leaving because they've lost faith and trust that de Blasio and the city are going to keep the streets safe and the subway safe and clean. So we're facing a real we're in a real bind.
And it's something that is not going to be easily resolved. Seth, I was a member. I lived in Brooklyn for a number of years and left right as the pandemic was, getting hot and heavy there. Upper West Side, though, there are groups of people that are starting Facebook groups. And these are people, that's a very liberal area of the city. But people are just fed up. And you wonder if they're going to be fed up enough to where maybe they start electing some Republicans who will actually get in there and try to clean things up.
Well, I'm a member of some of those groups, and I've been following the situation closely. And yes, it's true. There are people who are becoming more and more conscientious and conscious of the problem of public safety and the streets. But what I fear is that the city has been warped so profoundly by the progressive lurch that it will be very difficult to reform it back into something resembling what New York City used to be. Like I said, there have been a lot of laws that have been passed that will make it very difficult for the police to do their jobs. The city's electorate has changed. There's an old saw about politicians voting in a new people. I feel like they've done that to some extent. People who can't stand it, like you and many others, have voted with their feet and left. So, we have an election coming up, and there's some sensible candidates. But, even if we elected a firm law and order type, I'm not sure they would be able to turn things around.
It's interesting because that is another untold story, and we're talking about tens of thousands of people who have fled New York City, and many of these folks are indeed the taxpayers. If you live in New York City, you're paying not only a federal income tax and a state income tax, but you're also paying a city income tax. And a lot of folks like myself have said, that's it. It's just not worth it, and have gotten out of town. And with that, so goes the tax base.
Well, exactly. And the tax base and, the 1%, like they say, the 0.1% pays for 25% of the city's taxes. So you need the very rich if you want to have a big social welfare system and all kinds of amenities. But fortunately, if you're a progressive, you have the point of view that you can just keep redefining who's rich. So anybody who has a job is rich, and just tax them. So yes, we're in a terrible cycle of chasing out the rich and then just raising taxes on who's left.
Well, it's a fascinating book you've written. I'm curious, are you hopeful, or is stick a fork in New York, it's done?
Well, I'm not going to count the whole place out. New Yorkers are really resilient, and I think they do care about their city. They just need to wake up a little bit and make it clear to the powers that be that we're not going to take it. They've got to change things for the better. They've got to crack down on quality of life and public safety violations, and really reform things to get the city back in working order.
All right. Well, Seth, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, congratulations on the new book. What a great book it is. Making a lot of headlines, folks. The Last Days of New York, written by Seth Baron. Seth, best of luck to you.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. Also want to toss out another trivia question as we go to break. And this comes from the great comedy movie Anchorman. What does Ron Burgundy say that his apartment smells like when he was trying to pick up the lovely Veronica Corningstone? Ron Burgundy trying to pick up Veronica Corningstone at a party poolside, and he said his apartment smells of what fragrance? Was it sweet lavender, clean laundry, or rich mahogany? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right. right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Friday edition of the program, and we're playing some trivia. We've got one trivia question out there already from Anchorman. Ron Burgundy said his apartment smelled like this. What was it? Was it sweet lavender? Was it rich mahogany or clean laundry? And we're going to toss out another question as well for this segment. Speaking of the Waltons, remember the Waltons from back in the day? John Boy and, you know, Mary Ellen and all those folks. What was the name of the mountain where the Waltons lived? They lived on a mountain. What was the name of the mountain the Walton family lived on? If you know, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So LeBron James, Grace has been all over me to talk about this story.
I just find it amusing.
I'm just not a big NBA fan, so I guess that's why I'm not interested.
But we've talked about LeBron.
So anyway, the season came to an end. They got crushed. I do know that. Crushed.
Yes.
By the Suns. And LeBron apparently is a bad loser. He refused to shake hands. He refused to, you know, be honorable and noble, and he just walked off the court. Is that LeBron? Gosh. Give him give him a pacifier or something. Jeez, Alou. All right, so there you go. LeBron James, who he's a big, big supporter of the Chinese, the communist Chinese. He just loves the communist Chinese. Good luck to you, LeBron. Maybe he can summer in Beijing. Maybe he can do that. All right. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Linda in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Linda. How's it going today?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. All right. So we're talking about the Waltons, and they lived on a mountain. What was the name of that mountain?
Grandfather Mountain.
Oh, no, no, no. That is not the right answer, Linda.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm terribly... But thank you for playing, and give us a call back. We're going to try this. We're going to try it again. Give us a holler back next week. Thanks for playing. So the question is still on the table. Where was the mountain? What was the name of the mountain that where the story of the Waltons was set? And if you know the answer, give us a call. Let's try... let's go to Salem, Oregon. Christy wants to try the Anchorman question. Christy, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Christy. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Christy, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. All right, Anchorman, one of my favorite movies of all time. We need to
Mine
know.
Mine too.
Isn't it funny? I mean, just a great funny movie. Not for the
it
kids.
Was.
Not for the kids, though, Christy, right? Not for the kids.
No.
No, not at all. No, no, no. All right, so let's go through this again. Ron Burgundy, he was trying to pick up Veronica Corningstone at a party, and he said that his home smelled of what, Christy?
Rich mahogany.
All right, let's go to the audio to find out.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany. I mean...
Christy, you know what that means? That means you are a winner.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Congratulations. Well, by the way, we're so excited to be a part of the lineup now over at KYKN. How are you guys liking the show out there?
I love it.
Wonderful. We like to hear that. So, Christy, thank you for playing. And we're going to put Christy on hold. And Grace is going to pick up the phone, and she's going to get right back to you. Let's go to the great state of Iowa. That's Jeff Stein country, by the way. Gene listening to us on the KWAM app. Hi, Gene. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Glad you got my name right.
Well, me too. Grace spelled it right, so there you go. That's how we do it around here.
We blame it on her, don't we? Yeah, okay.
All right, let's get to the trivia question here. What was the name of the mountain that the Waltons lived on?
Well, that would have been Walton's Mountain.
Of course, that is absolutely correct. It was Walton's Mountain, and that was, I guess, that kind of twisted people up, but you got it right there, Gene. Hey, congrats. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you hooked up with a prize package as well. All right. Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you haven't already done so, pre-order a copy of the brand-new book. It's coming out in just a couple of weeks, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. The reviews are coming in, and I got to tell you, it is we're getting some good feedback, and we're very excited about the book. We're going to be hitting the road in a couple of weeks, and we'll be coming to your town, so be sure to check out the website, and we're going to keep you updated on where we are. Hey, look, we're going to pay close attention this weekend. There could be some violence in Minneapolis. There was another police-involved shooting. A bad guy with a gun who was wanted on gun charges tried to open fire on police officers, and it did not end well for the bad guy. So last night, this all happened yesterday. Last night, there was another round of chaos. There was rioting, pillaging and plundering, looting of all sorts of stores, including Target and CVS drugstores. There was there were fires set the whole nine yards, and they're anticipating there's going to be even more violence this weekend. So we want you to be very careful. If you're listening to us in Minneapolis, we have a lot of listeners in that area of Minnesota. Just be careful when you get out there. All right, especially this weekend. Grace Baker, got big plans for the weekend?
I don't know yet. See where the weekend takes me.
Heading over to a Southern Gospel Music Festival.
Oh.
In a place called Millington, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, I know where
that is. We're going to meet all of our... A guy named Jason Crabb, a great singer, is going to be one of the big singers. So looking forward to that. And then some R&R. More chicken.
That's needed.
More chicken.
More chicken?
I'm afraid so.
You could always try the tofu.
I'm not trying tofu, no matter what. Avery, what about you? Got big plans this weekend? Are you doing, like, Spider-Man stuff?
I'm probably just going to play video games a little bit this weekend.
Oh, Lord. Oh. You see, that's the problem with America.
I was about to say, I was like, here we go.
Look, I'm slightly kidding. I will be playing video games just because I have a lot of friends. We play stuff together. But I did do something that I should improve my Spider-Man game.
You've got
game.
five seconds.
I purchased a stunt pad, and I'm going to start learning how to do some flips.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Can we check the insurance policy of the program? Folks, we're going to get out of here. I want to thank Kyle, Avery, Grace, JP. It's been a lot of fun. Get out there. Have a great weekend. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church.